When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Grongy Maguire, and this is Chantelle for Dooch and Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples, the ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, Grania. How are you?
Oh, we're in the wonderful month of March.
Oh, well, you know how you and I feel about March. We're in the March of doing nothing, marching towards doing nothing aside from St. Patrick's Day. So if you're listening, you better be in, everyone.
So we did discuss that March should be the official staying in month. Mm-hmm. But then I thought March Madness.
That's true. There is March Madness. This is going to happen every week of March, and it's going to turn out to be the most expensive month in me and Grania's year.
As mad.
Have a reason to celebrate everything.
As mad as a March hare.
I don't even know what that means. I just have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, spring is on the way. There is that. Oh. So we can spend March staying in, getting slim, getting ready for the summertime. It's coming. It's on the way.
You know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking a lot about this.
Here she comes.
I don't like summer.
Here we are. And what a surprise.
No, you know what? I've been thinking about it. Summer is such a needy season.
It's a bit needy.
I feel like all the other seasons are like spring are like, if you want, but you don't have to. And autumn is like, you could do this, but you don't have to. Winter is stay in. Summer is like, why aren't you leaving the house?
It is. It's a guilt season. Ugh. I feel guilty every single day that I'm not out in the summer. If it's sunny outside and I'm inside, I feel dreadful about it. And it is like a friend that's like, hey, we haven't hung out in a while. Can you come out? And I'm like, oh, no, I just want to go home. Mm. Or it's the friend that you always wish would cancel on you, but it doesn't. The sun never cancels on you.
Ugh.
But don't worry, it's only March, guys. And we're in England. We live in London. So we have until July.
What I'll say is, right now, spoiler alert, we have recorded this slightly before this date, but I'm just assuming you're listening to this and it's cloudy and it's maybe dark and you're going, oh God, I've turned the lights on already. Mm-hmm. And that can feel quite like heavy. And instead, just think of it as like the sky is a great big duvet.
Yeah, too.
And it's saying,
I think you're right.
Snuggle in.
Because this is the month everyone starts getting a bit exhausted with it being cold, a bit exhausted, as you say, of dark nights. But come into the world Grania and I are giving you. Enjoy this month of staying in nonstop. Enjoy the grayness. You will honestly, you will miss this in a couple of months.
Yeah.
You'll want this.
When it's all like, oh, hey, do you want to go canoeing?
Well, there's another festival this weekend again. Oh. Come have some apple cider in the park.
Mm-mm, ugh. Mm-mm. Speaking of somebody that you want to spend more time with.
There she is. The segues are getting better if you haven't noticed, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This guest, I think she's the funniest Australian I've ever met.
And she's our first Antipodean guest that we had live from a different continent. This was our first cross-continent recording. It was very exciting.
Oh my God. A little satellite was involved. Can you imagine?
That's right. It was like 7 p.m. for us, 7 a.m.
Oh
for her, but we were
set
on the same vibe. We were on different days, but the same vibe. It was a big moment.
Get ready. Our amazing guest. It is the funniest Australian that has ever Australianed. It is Michelle Brazier.
The way they were.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
How are you? Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I know I'm really good. I'm good. I've walked the dog. I had a fight with a truck driver. I've had a big day.
It's only 8:30. My God.
I know. Yeah. How are you guys?
That's amazing. That's like a more impressive Mark Wahlberg list of things he does in the morning. Like, forget about meditate, exercise, walk the dog and have a fight with the truck driver.
It's just something we do in Australia every morning.
Oh, I see. It's an Antipodean thing. Okay,
it's cultural. Yeah.
Right. It's your morning practice.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's how we get to be such a beautiful country.
So this is very exciting. You are our first Australian guest.
Am I really?
Is that right? I'm not blanking out on anybody.
I think you're right. I think you're right. This is the first one.
Wow.
It's a big deal.
Do I sound exotic to you?
I mean, we have Australians in London.
Okay, you can humour me a little bit.
Yeah, I've never heard a real one though. You know, they're all fake London ones, so this is the real deal.
We've only heard sellout Australians.
That's right.
Yeah, cowards.
Cowards who couldn't handle the real Australia. That's right.
So I can't wait to find out the Australian take on love and romance. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you think you're romantic people?
I mean, possibly more than you guys. I think we are slightly more towards the American in terms of like public displays of affection or, you know, traditional romance. You guys are a bit more like, oh God. We're different, but I think I'm a big romantic.
Are you?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
I don't know. I want romance in everything. Like anytime, like if I like see an old man cross the road, I'm like, wow, I should write a poem about this. Like yes. I'm an absolute nightmare. And then in terms of like traditional romance, like if I'm cooking, I'll just wait for my partner to come and like put his arm around my stomach from behind while I'm cooking. Like I'm like, that's why I'm cooking, because
that's what you're meant to do.
Like, yeah, like, do you understand? Like, you're my scene partner and we're doing this. It's a movie. Yeah. Like,
and you have like a song ready and you keep starting it over again for him to walk in the room at the same time.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, come on. Oh my God, he's missed his cue. That's fine. We'll go again.
So how long have you and your partner been together? Did you have like a romantic meet cute? How did you guys...
Yes, we did. So we've been together for 8 years. We met doing Legally Blonde, the musical.
Nice.
I was playing Elle Woods and he was playing Warner Huntington III.
Oh, he's playing Warner. Okay, yeah. So you got to be rude to him on stage. Nice.
Yes, so he broke up with me every night on stage. And then, yeah, there's a bit at the end where Elle, like Warner proposes to Elle when she's had all her success, spoiler, and... She sort of sings a nice song to him and is like, thank you, but no. Mm-hmm. But like by the end of the run, I was like holding his hand and like just kind of like really like into him. And I was like, oh no, this is happening.
Oh, that's it was great.
It was quite sweet. It was very, and then like our first day we'd been talking, I was really busy and really overworked. And I was like, I just want to crawl into a fort. And he was like, what would be your perfect fort? And I described it. And then the first time I went to his place, I went there and he had built the fort in his room.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I've got incredibly high standards.
Oh, wow. Well, you've met your match though. I love it. Oh my God. I'm so jealous. Grimes is seriously reconsidering her marriage.
Oh my God. Can I just say, this is something I feel very passionately about. I am sick of like the stereotype of Australians as being, it's like, you know, like a laddie nation. I think you need to rebrand yourselves as one, romantics, and two, bloody prestige film actors.
It's true.
Prestige film actors. You've got your Guy Pearce. You've got your Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Australia Tourist Board. If you're listening, enough with the whole like, oh, we're good, we're laugh, barbecue, surfing.
Stop bringing
nonsense.
Up surfing so much. Mm-mm-mm. I think Australia has taken over England for like prestige actors. I think it's like more known for
Thank
it.
You. That's
all
so
England
nice.
Has left is like Kate Winslet's doing a lot of heavy lifting. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
She is doing a lot of heavy lifting. Although I did just see All of Us Strangers. And that was some beautiful acting. That was stunning.
But do you know Paul Mescal, Australian?
What?
No. Oh, let's spread a rumor.
In his heart.
Spiritually.
Yeah. Spiritually, yeah.
I was like, don't fuck with me.
And the annoying sweaty guy from Fleabag, Australian. They're both Australian.
Did you just say annoying? No.
Andrew Scott. No. If you're listening,
oh
Andrew
my
Scott,
God.
You need to step away from the box hair dye.
I thought I was alone in the kind of I don't get the big deal with Andrew Scott. And finding out that Grania is on my team.
You have to go and see All of Us Strangers. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, our producer just quit because she's obviously part of the Andrew Scott crew.
Abigail, jeez Louise. Andrew Scott is brilliant. He's so good. And I think he's very sexy. Sorry.
Listen, you can't trust good-looking Irish men. So, as always, beautiful Chantel does not know the couple that Michelle and I are both visualising in our minds right now. But don't worry, Chantel. You're about to find out with the help of some clues. So I can tell you, our couple that Michelle brought along for us to discuss got together in the golden year of 2022.
Oh my God. Okay, this is recent. Okay,
were we ever so young? Can you imagine? Just dust away the old memories. If you can remember what you were doing in 2022. So hopefully some memory clues to help you remind you what was going on so long ago. Russia invades Ukraine. ChatGPT is launched and Will Smith has the night of his life at the Oscars.
Of course.
But that's not all that was happening, because when this Jean caught the eye of this musical genius.
Yeah, I have never heard that word.
It made the press want to touch the sky.
Okay, you've completely lost me with Jam, so we're just going to ignore that as a clue. Even the guest doesn't know what that means, so we're just going to go past that.
When this
touch the sky, I know that, but I can't place who that is.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. When this Jam,
please, I can't take it. I can't take it. What is the accent? I just don't know what you're doing.
Okay, then try it again. Okay, when this Uncut Jam.
Oh my God, Julia Fox and Kanye West. Jesus, that was.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? Uncut Jams. It's Jams.
It's Jams. It's Jams.
It was Josh Safdie's music, Uncut Jams.
No, it's Jams. It's Uncut Jams. It's Jams. It's Jams.
Oh That was a swing and a miss. Clear
Michelle,
miss.
I know we've only just met, but I have to say thank you so much, because I've been praying for someone to choose this couple.
Okay,
and I had no idea that it would lead to hearing Grania say Jams.
Jams. I was like, I guess it's a French word.
That's maybe what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh God, okay. That was amazing. Jam. Okay, I just want that to be the clip from this episode that we share. Anyways, yes, Julia Fox and Kanye. I am activated. I am ready. I can do this one. This is great. Great choice. Great choice. Wonderful choice. Oh my God, I love her.
Okay, so we will get into the weeds, but before we do, what is it about this couple, Michelle, that you find so fascinating?
I want to be clear that what I find fascinating about this couple is simply Julia Fox.
Yes, thank you.
I love this woman.
Same.
I can't stop thinking about this woman. Mm-hmm. Every day I wake up, I go, Julia Fox. She is so incredible. And I mean, their entire relationship is like so tumultuous and so weird. I actually thought about doing Kim and Kanye. And then I was like,
I'd like to do Kim. I'm not a big fan of Kim, but I'd love to do them as a relationship.
Do you know, I am a big fan of Kim. I've just recently said, because I had to play Kim Kardashian in this sketch show, and I had to watch all the Kardashians for like to try and get the voice. It's the best television I've ever seen. There's an episode of that television program where two of them, Khloe and Kim, have never had beer. And one of them's like, do you want a beer? And they're like, oh, what is this? Like, sorry. And don't you need like a lemon in it? Oh, I know you can't. So you drink it? Like, it's madness. Anyway, I digress. But Julia Fox is what I find interesting about this. And just the way that she did not bend to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not to mention the articles that she wrote about it, the calendar. Oh my God, there's so much. They're referring to him as the artist in the book. Oh my God.
The artist. Do you know, I used to do this when I was little, because I am such a romantic. Every person I'd ever been with, I kept a diary. I'm saying little, like I was 9. But when I was like 20, I had written like every person I'd ever been romantically interested in. Mm-hmm. I was like the poet, the philosopher, the guitarist.
That's so good.
It's awful. It's so bad.
Yeah, mine would have just been the guitarist, the next guitarist, the next, the bassist. My 20s were a lot of guys in bands.
Yes, me too. I've never been with anyone who couldn't play at least the guitar or the bass. Anyway, I love her and her book.
You know who has never, I think, experienced what you're both talking about, shame, embarrassment?
Hey, Julia I'm not Fox. Shame, just saying, but Julia Fox, that's why I like her so much. She just has zero shame.
Yeah.
So before we go any further, I can already sense the tension in the room and I'm just going to address it. You're all thinking, yes, Grogget, this is all fine and good, but what about their star signs? Well, Julia Fox, February 2nd, she is an Aquarius queen.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Aquarius season, perfect.
Aquarius. Kanye, June 8th, Gemini.
Okay.
Oh,
Gemini. Okay, so Michelle, just based on their astrological signs, what chance did this match ever have of working out?
Oh, 30%.
Okay. 30%, okay.
Gemini and Aquarius. I don't really know anything. Aquarius is an air sign. I always think it's a water sign, but it's not. It's an air sign. And that's all I know about that. And they're very nice people because my brother is one and my boyfriend is one. So I'm going to say, my mom's a Gemini. So I'm going to say 78% because they're both nice signs.
Okay, interesting. Well, I can tell you, according to the planets that govern us all, Gemini, Kanye, needs a partner who doesn't bore them or make them feel inhibited. There is no better match for them than the fabulous Aquarius, Julia. Mm-hmm. However, they could find themselves in a relationship that doesn't have enough emotion and compassion. And this is certain to surface as soon as the first disturbing thing happens in the life of one of these partners. Chances of it working out, 85%.
Wow.
You should have done it. It was meant to be. But that was one of the most accurate breakdowns of like the reality of this relationship. That really does
crazy.
Sound like both of them.
Listen. This is becoming less of a podcast and more like a real-time investigation into whether astrological charts are real. I think the evidence is saying that they are. Okay, so let's have a quick look at their emotional CV before they meet up. So Kanye, I mean, we won't get into it, but he dated the model Amber Rose from 2008 to 2010.
Which he never got over and explains all his behavior with women afterwards. That's what ruined him. Amber Rose, I will say this till I die. Amber Rose dumping Kanye is why we are where we are now. Just
wow.
saying.
Wow.
So he went out with her. They had a bit of a messy split. Then he started dating Kim Kardashian in 2012. And they split up after 8 years of marriage. And let's leave Kanye there, reeling from the split with Kim, and find out about this Julia Fox lady. Mm. Well, Julia, have either of you read her memoir, Down the Drain?
I'm dying to read it.
You are in for an absolute treat. It's the
I
best
know,
book I've
I can't
ever
wait.
Read.
I'm saving it for a holiday I'm going on. I cannot wait to read it. I cannot wait.
Oh, great. You'll love it.
Did you love it, girl? It's not a very Grainne book. I can't imagine it was your... I don't think Julia Fox is a very Grainne gal. Grainne just finished the Barbara Streisand biography, and this is a very different vibe.
But do you know, I think she's like one of the last showgirls, one of the last authentic showgirls who's just like, I'm just fucking doing it. I think she's very much in that league.
I found her... So reading the book... There used to be a program here on Channel 4 called Faking It, where it was like you had to do like the exact opposite career of what you, so if you're an accountant, you had to, you know, try and pass yourself off as like a wrestler or something. And yeah. I think my faking it would just be spending like one night out with Julia Fox.
And it would be struggle.
Good luck to her. I really liked her, but I found it the most stressful week of my life. I wish her well, my God. But every bit of it, every chapter involved her like getting to a row in like a cool hipster nightclub and then like leaving with somebody else.
And from what I've heard, she has a lot of like very intense female friendships that all seem to have some kind of tragedy at the base of them or end in a tragedy. And she's like obsessed with them. And every female friend is her new soulmate. And then the next one, there does seem to be a lot of, she's not very sort of like casual gal, from what I can gather. No. She goes in hard when she's into people.
Yeah, she goes 100 with everything, yeah. Which I fucking love.
Yeah. Her first relationship was with a drug dealer. She was 16. He was in his early 20s. He briefly kidnaps her and takes her to live with his mother for several months until the police force him to turn himself in. So she has a history of intense, unhealthy relationships with men. She, as she meets Kanye, she's just come out of a relationship with the father of her son, Valentino, mm-hmm. that is so toxic, she has to post on Instagram about what a crappy dad he is. Her friend has just died from an overdose, and yep. the pandemic has just stalled her acting career. So this is where we'll leave Julia.
Yeah.
It looks like things are just like after finally of years of hustling. And I said, this is a bit of a tangent, but I say years and years of hustling. It just feels like in the book, it's like I took a picture and somebody was like, this is amazing. Let's turn it into an art gallery. So then I walked down the street and somebody said, oh my God, you're stunning. Be in my film. So I use the word hustling, you know, in the loosest sense of the word hustling.
She did seem to be trying her hand at a lot of things, but always somehow being very successful first try.
Yeah, she's like an it girl. Like, yeah,
very
she
much
came
it
from
girl.
No money, which I think is important. She was like, yeah. She grew up very poor. She had absolutely nothing. And she went, what I do have is this face. Yeah. I am going to sell it. And I'm going to wear interesting. I'm going to make people look at me and I'm going to get the fuck out of here. And she did that.
That is true.
She is one of the last it girls. It's true.
Yeah. And uncut jams.
Uncut jams, not joms.
Jams. Uncut joms. Read by Stephen
Fry. Uncut joms.
So, Julia gets a text from an old friend asking, can they pass on her number to Kanye? So Kanye was the favorite artist of a friend who has just died. So she's very right. vulnerable.
Okay.
And then suddenly Kanye West, who her poor friend who's just passed away loved, suddenly he has appeared in her life. So she says, sure, give him my number. Kanye texts her back quickly. Then they start talking on the phone for hours. Although Julia says he talks, she listens.
That sounds right.
When he does listen to her, he says she's really smart and loves her ideas. And Julia says it feels like he's breathing new life into her.
Okay.
So God love her after all she's been through. And then this is just a guy showing her some attention. And then she also says, because around this period, he's in the press being a bit mean about Kim Kardashian. It's a lot of drama, his ex-wife.
It's during Kim and Pete. I think it's important to remember this is right at the height of Kim and Pete when he was calling Pete Ski. We all remember that. It was a big time. It's a great time to be alive.
Oh, incredible time.
I loved it. It gave me new life. This whole scenario gave me life. Yeah.
Oh, treats for days.
Mm.
So Julia says, I was like, oh my God, maybe I can get him off Kim's case because I can distract him, like just get him to like me. I knew if anyone can do it, it's me. When I set my mind to something, I do it.
I love it when people say that.
Same.
It's
same.
So funny. It's such a
the
funny
confidence.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. It's like, what do you mean? There has to be something that you wanted to do that you didn't do. Like,
there's probably tons that you wanted to do and didn't do. And also, like, Julia's, isn't your entire book about you finding yourself in very bad situations?
Yeah.
So why didn't you set your mind to not being in a bad situation?
Yeah, maybe girl. Set your mind to getting clean. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Girl. It's so great, though. They'd be like, oh, I could protect Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly. She needs me.
I love that.
She just put her cup of coffee down and thought, no, it's time.
I can fix this.
So he invites her to Miami for New Year's, but she says no because she has plans with her family. She can tell he doesn't like that answer. So she says she'll only come if he invites the people she has New Year's plans with too. So he charters a jet to take her and all her friends to Miami the next day. Mm. So she's heading down to Miami with her friends on the jet. They get to the hotel room in Miami and Kanye's people have left designer clothes laid out for her to wear to the party. However, she notices they're basically different versions of the exact same outfit.
Yeah.
Not a lot of choice. So they get to the party late and bouncers almost don't let her in. Then she sees him for the first time. Kanye leaning against the railing of the mezzanine.
Oh, okay.
So just imagine, you know, head's bopping. Maybe he's got like a bottle of Sol in his hand, leaning.
Well, this but that's the thing, is like, this is how they meet. Like, he's put her on a plane. He's never seen her face to face. That's mental.
It is. I feel like it's very kind of, there's something about their whole relationship that I'm like, we're only getting a sort of a quarter of the story. Like just, oh, a friend texts me and Kanye wanted to meet me. What? Wait, back up. Who's the friend? How does the friend know Kanye? How did Kanye know who you were? Why did he ask her so many questions? Like, Michelle, if I just said to you, oh yeah, my friend texted me last night and said that Taylor Swift wants to meet me tomorrow, so I'm going to go see her. Wouldn't you be like, what? Like, stop the conversation.
Like, call the police. You're being trafficked. Like, there's no
way. If you're Julia Fox and you have kind of almost been trafficked, like, I'd be a bit more worried.
I'd be like, it's happening again, baby girl.
Seriously.
So this is how she describes the scene. Our eyes lock and a jolt of electricity runs through me. The crowds part before me, clearing the path straight to him. Without saying a word, the artist, that's how she refers to Kanye, extends his hand and pulls me close. Our bodies press against each other as we move to the beat of the music. I can
Why
feel the
he
heat.
Why doesn't he say hi?
They just
say
met.
Hi.
Just hello.
Hit. Hiya. I'm Julia. Hi. I'm Kanye. Nice to meet
Should
you.
Should I call you? Is it Yay
Happy
or
New
Kanye?
Year.
I forget.
Happy New Year. What are your New Year's resolutions?
Yes.
Did you have a good Christmas?
So what's your intention for 2023?
Yeah, highlights, lowlights. Let's go. Should we do a tarot? Like, come on.
Their bodies are together. Okay, they're in.
Okay. He holds me tight, his hand scanning the folds of my body. My lips pressed gently to his neck. I know this is the beginning of something truly special.
I mean, it was. She's not wrong there.
She's not wrong. She's right.
She's not wrong. She knows how to write a story.
She says it was too late for them to talk properly. So then the two of them sort of exit through a back door. He starts pissing against a wall. And Julia immediately starts yelling that people better not try to take his picture. And this seems to really impress him because he suddenly starts kissing her passionately and says, "You make me feel like my high school girlfriend."
Did he stop pissing before
Did
he
stop pissing? In my mind, the dick is out. In my mind, the dick is out and it's dripping.
Same.
This is so gross.
It's just like a dribbling, flaccid dick and he is kissing her.
And both of his hands are on her body and one of them is just on his raw dick. This is disgusting.
Yuck.
Run, Julia, run. It's happening again.
So then they head to a different party, which, according to what I've read, was probably at P. Diddy's house, reading between the lines.
Oh, yes. And knowing what we know now, again, Julia, run.
God.
So Julia is there with her friends. She's having a great time. She says she's twerking. She's doing the splits. And then for the first time, we as readers and Julia in real life meets the villain of the story.
Dun, 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 dun.
Kanye's evil friend. So they're never named. He's just kind of like an annoying, mischievous character who pops up and makes life difficult for Julia.
It sounds like a Disney
Shakespearean
movie.
Yeah. A true Iago of the piece. Yeah. So he goes up to Julia. She's having the time of her life. She's twerking. She's doing the splits. He taps her on the shoulder and says to her, "You're doing entirely way too much. You need to chill out."
Oh.
I mean, to be honest, I imagine Julia Fox at a party would be doing too much, but that's why you have Julia Fox at a party.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, she's also twerking and doing the splits nonstop. That is too much, but fuck it. That's what you do. It's New Year's Eve, pal. Jeez.
And if you're at like P. Diddy's house, can you imagine a man walking up to you and saying, "You're doing too much"?
You're doing too much.
Would end the life of the man.
Honestly, I'm like, Kanye just flew me here in a private jet. I saw him piss on a wall. Now I'm at P. Diddy's house. This whole night is too much. Who the fuck are you?
Shut up.
So it's then she realizes that the most of the other women in the room are gorgeous, but don't really speak.
Right. They just stand there docile and she's the wild one.
She's the wild one. She's not having any of it. So she looks around. She can't find Kanye. So she heads back to the hotel. So the next morning she wakes up, she's had dozens of missed calls and texts from Kanye. She goes to his hotel room in sweatpants.
Classic, okay.
And he's getting massage and she sits down and chats to him while he's getting the massage and he compliments her on her lipstick.
Okay.
So this, do you want to hear how her and Kanye spend the rest of the day? They're together for the first time. It's Miami. What do they do?
He takes her shopping to buy her clothes.
What do you think, Michelle?
In my brain, I'm like, I don't know. I guess there's electricity. Like, they're getting into bed. They're having sex.
I thought they famously never did have sex. So was that a thing?
Well, according to Julia, they spend the day playing Uno, and a game that Kanye invented that involves highlighting positive words in the dictionary.
Oh my God, shut up.
Fucking God.
The thing is, I believe it. I actually believe it. Like, don't get me wrong. I love a game of Uno. Like, if you're on a plane and you whack out a pack of Uno, I'm there. I'm here for you. But my first day, and then he invented a game of highlighting positive words.
Do you want to play a game I've invented? It sounds like a dictionary.
That sounds like a game he played with North, like his child, you know, as a nice fun game. But hey, let's look at positive. That's a child game.
Yeah.
To play that with Julia Fox, who was just doing splits and twerking the night before.
No, zero points.
Uh-huh. No point.
So then they go for dinner that night, and controversially, she decides to choose her own clothes.
Oh, Julia.
She's a modern day Calamity Jane, this girl.
She's not like other girls.
She's different.
So at the restaurant, he spends an hour tweaking their table, adding more candles and moving it sort of around.
An hour? That didn't happen. It felt like, either way, it felt like an hour, which is what really matters here. So it kind of doesn't matter how long it actually took. An hour. How long would it take you? I'm thinking, because 10 minutes of doing that would feel like an hour. And I think after 10 minutes, I'd be like, listen, I think something's happening here. You're triggered by this table.
Yeah.
Maybe let's take a rain check. I'll see you later. How long would you last?
I think if you moved it once, I think if you were like, I just want to move this slightly to the left or something. You have one move.
And even then I'd be like, okay, I'd be like, this is weird.
Yeah.
I would judge them.
Oh no, it's fine. But the second you do a second move,
you know, you're right.
We have to go. I'd just be like, I have to leave. I have to exit.
Well, when they finally do have the table in the right setting, they start their meal. And a photographer is circling them constantly to take pictures.
This is just bonkers.
And while this is happening, Kanye says to Julia, "Will you be my girlfriend?"
Yuck. It's crazy.
I love it. I love every single second of it.
So Julia says, well, maybe we should get to know each other first.
Just an idea.
But she gets sense that he's not really listening to her. Then he says he wants to appoint a team to work on her wardrobe.
Of course, yeah. He loves dressing up a girl, yeah.
This is his first date with her. And Julia immediately remembers the episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where he did the exact same thing to Kim.
Oh.
But then she shows him some pictures of her friends. You know, she's a fashion New York girl. She's like, look at my two friends. They're stylists. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. So Kanye was like, oh, yeah, brilliant. I will hire your friends. Fantastic. So then they go back to his hotel room. They watch a film in bed where he falls asleep. And then as soon as he falls asleep, she goes into her hotel room and tells her friends, I've got you two jobs for Kanye West.
She's hustling. I gotta say, she's three steps ahead. Just thinking, I'm getting my friends jobs.
Yeah,
I got
she's
a free
there for
dinner.
The girls. She's so nice. She's like, because so many people would be like, oh, you know, I'll see, but like, I might want to hang out with Kanye. But she's like, okay, I'm getting on this train, and you are all coming with me. I love.
And
that
now I've got
her.
You jobs. I've got you jobs. You're on the flight. Everything. Yeah, I love it.
So then the next day, photographs from that dinner were leaked to the press.
I remember them. They were great.
And she's
amazing,
like,
photographs.
How? Like, that 100%, it could only have been from Kanye's team. Mm-hmm. So they head back to New York. Kanye takes her to see the slave play. Mm-hmm. Which is, so it's this really traumatic, intense play about like the legacy of slavery on interracial relationships. You know how mm-hmm. I know that? The night my husband proposed to me in New York, we had tickets to go see it, and I insisted we went.
Oh, God.
Romantic.
Oh, no.
I am a romantic. So guess who's at the play?
Grainne Maguire.
Me and Mel Shah, stony face, staring at the play. I'm going, this is culture. Well, not just me and Mel, the annoying friend.
The annoying friend, he's back, the villain.
The annoying friend is back, and Juliet notices he's on his phone the whole time. So she gets really annoyed. Then
During the play?
That would drive me mental.
But then somebody else must be on her phone, because Juliet gets a text from her friend, who is, remember, now her stylist, mm-hmm. which says, just come to the bathroom. Oh. So then she goes into the bathroom in the theatre, and uh-huh. her friend is waiting for her with a mountain of clothes that Kanye has told her to bring.
Oh my God.
And so she restyles Julia's outfit, and Julia comes back from the toilet in a completely different outfit.
Okay.
That's
okay,
so fucked up. During,
it is. It's really psychotic. During the play. During a really serious play.
About slavery.
And as a white girl, she has to leave to go to the bathroom and change. This is not good optics.
He's fucking with her? Yeah, what's happening here?
Jeez. I think he might be fucking with her. I think the whole relationship was him fucking with her and her kind of taking advantage of that too.
Yeah.
They're both fucking with each other, which is what I love about this. Anyways,
yeah,
on.
That's true. That's
They're both in control. They're both kind of powering here.
So they head back to his hotel room, and he's been teasing her for ages that he's got a big surprise for her back there. So they go in, they open up the door, and waiting for her is the new Diesel collection.
Okay. I mean, it's 2022, not 1992, but okay.
That's really, really good.
Diesel.
The new, I mean,
what's next? D squared? Oh my God. Is there some Billabong shorts back there?
Fucking oh, you guys hell. Have Billabong? I thought that was Australian. Wow.
Oh, it is Australian, but it made some big waves in the early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
Do you have the word billabong? That's an indigenous word, right?
No, it is. Yeah, but it's purely the brand.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
We had Billabong and Quicksilver. They were like the
oh,
brands.
They both made it? Oh, good
they
for those
made
girls.
It.
Oh, great.
And so Julia's doing her little fashion show for Kanye. And while she's putting on an outfit, really casually, remember, she's just had a kid. She goes, oh, no, I can't wear this top. I can't wear it without a bra. And Kanye says, oh, don't worry. I can get you a boob job if you want.
I mean, you have to remember who he's just been married to. You know, this is the kind of thing. And what happened to his mother? This is, you know, offering a woman cosmetic surgery is just by the by. You know, that's like saying, I'll buy you a diamond ring. It's just, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I know a doctor who can pick those up.
Yeah, exactly.
Around this time, she's suddenly like an overnight sensation, and the paparazzi are following her everywhere. Mm-hmm. So Kanye organizes an interview for her in Interview, a magazine, to talk
Iconic.
About the night that she met Kanye. So
did you read that interview, Michelle?
So she gives an interview saying what happened, and then Kanye reads it and is like, no, we can't use that. We can't mm-hmm. use that. So his team rewrites it. Juliet later finds out, guess who's the person that rewrote it?
The annoying
friend.
The annoying friend. And she reads it and she is mortified. She's like, there is no way in the world I am releasing this as something that I have said. This is the most cheesy, embarrassing thing in my life.
It really was.
So
really
now
was.
There's like a three-way conversation on the phone with her and Kanye and his team to discuss the changes to this piece. So
can I just also interrupt you, Grainne? They've been together like, what, a week? That's why there's so much happening.
That's
been, like,
crazy.
7 days.
I mean, she hasn't even had a full menstrual cycle in this month.
No.
Yeah.
So this is the interview. Interview in inverted commas that apparently was written by Julia Fox, but we know was ghostwritten by Kanye and his annoying friend. So this is what appeared in print. I met Ye in Miami on New Year's Eve, and it was an instant connection. His energy is so fun to be around. He had me and my friends laughing, dancing and smiling all night. We decided to keep the energy going and fly back to New York City to see Slave Play. Yee's flight landed at 6.
Keep the energy going!
At 7, and he was there on time. Capitals.
I know.
I was impressed. After the play, we chose to do dinner at Carbone, which is one of my favourite restaurants.
Of course.
Obviously.
Of course.
At the restaurant, Yee directed an entire photo shoot for me while people dined! Exclamation mark. The whole restaurant loved it and cheered us on while it was happening. After dinner, Yee had a surprise for me. I mean, I'm still in shock. Yee had an entire hotel suite full of clothes. It was every girl's dream come true. It felt like a real Cinderella moment. I don't know how he did it or how he got all of it there in time, but I was so surprised. Like, who does things like that on a second date? Or any date! Exclamation mark. Everything with us has been so organic. I don't know where things are headed, but if this is any indication of the future, I'm loving the ride.
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was the most, it was so just incredible. Funny. It was like how a 13-year-old would imagine that a first date with someone they fancy at school would be like, you know? Wow. Like, you know, if a 13-year-old pretends they've gone on the date, like, yeah, and then he got me like flowers and then we went to the movies and then he kissed me like under the moon. It's all like, you never went on a date. That's what it sounds like. But it's written by his grown adult man friend.
Yuck. My so favorite part is the part about being on time.
On time. That Kanye himself knows how bad he is at that.
That's
he has
so
to make a big
funny.
Deal out of it.
He was on time. He's Isn't on that amazing? Time.
So Michelle, Kanye has kind of beaten us to the punch when it comes to imagining a night out with Kanye and Julia. But what we like to do is, imagine if we could get a phone call from 2022. I know it sounds crazy, it's just so long ago, whatever technology they had in those days, but whatever it looked like, imagine it ringing and it's Julia and she's like, Michelle, hun, I'm in town. Me and Kanye were just like in, God, I was about to say in London, but Michelle's in Australia.
I live in Melbourne.
Okay, we're in Melbourne for the night and we're vibing and you seem like a real cool person. And Kenny, I know he'd love to connect with you. He hears you're doing a lot of cool stuff at the moment. What do you imagine a night with Julia and Kenny being like?
Okay, we have this place in Melbourne called Revolver, which is affectionately called Revs, and it famously never closes. And some people in there, it's unclear if they're dead. Often there are like bodies carried out of this place. I feel like it would end at Revs, at Revolver.
It sounds like a Julia Fox place.
Yeah, I feel like that's where we're ending. I think we're beginning at the National Gallery of Victoria. They have like these like nights, like where you can, there's DJs and food and you can be in the gallery at night. And it's very sexy and cool and fun. And I feel like that's where we go first. And then we end up at Revs. And then there's some really good like late night restaurants that we go to after Revs.
What do you
Revs,
imagine the dynamic between Julia and Kanye is on the day? Sorry, Julia and Ye and Ye.
Julia and Ye, I imagine them having a fight in the Great Hall at NGV. Yes. And they're having a fight, but it's also kind of a dance. And they're sort of dance fighting like in West Side Story. And I'm there and I'm like, guys, come on. And the weird friend is there. And then I physically fight the weird friend. I physically fight them in self-defense. Then the cops come, they take the weird friend. And then we go to the bar where like dancing, Kanye buys everyone like, I don't know, one of those shots that like goes on fire. And then everyone does shots and everyone's like, Kanye. And then like maybe a weird Melbourne ex. Actually, because he dates someone Australian now.
Yeah, he does. That's right.
Foreshadowing.
So this is when he meets her.
Yeah, I've got friends who went to school with her. Isn't that mad?
Really?
Yes. And they're like, what the
That's
fuck?
Nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I just think it would be like full of shots and things and like extravagant displays of wealth and big fights, big cool fights.
Yeah. I feel like she would ask you a lot of questions. You'd be like, so what's it like here in Melbourne? Like, where do you go?
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of that. And she'd be kind of really interested in you. Like, I really love the art theme here. This is so good.
Yeah.
But then like she would kind of be sort of trying to make you find Ye fascinating And I think you would just find him really irritated. And she'd be like, yeah, but he's an artist. This is how he expresses himself. And you're like, no, I think he's a dick, Julia.
Yeah.
It could be a lot about you trying to get her away.
Yeah. She'd be like, he's doing a whole thing about masculinity where he's sort of like, he's coming off as like controlling, but that's kind of the art. And I'd be like, I don't think it is. I think it's the thing that you're seeing. That's the thing that it is.
There's no subtext. It's just text.
Yeah. You've read the whole book. This is it.
Yeah.
Well, back in her relationship with Kanye, things are getting stressful for her. She flies to LA to film a project, but she's dropped because the company she's supposed to be working with is closely affiliated with the Kardashians. So she has free time. She takes Kanye to a dinner she had planned with Madonna. She's very clear on that. She was meeting Madonna.
She made that point at the time as well. I was always aware that was her and Madonna. And I remember those pictures as well. It was amazing. Do you remember those pictures, Michelle?
Yeah.
That was important. Oh, God, it was such a great time. She gave us so much, guys, honestly.
And she's still giving.
Whoa. Oh, she's giving more now than ever. Where were we with? Oh my God, I didn't remember life. There's life BJ and AJ. And I prefer AJ.
Oh, 100%.
So he throws a party in her honor with friends and family, including Dave Chappelle and Naomi Campbell. She's a great night. Then he promises he's going to get her $1 million deal with an unnamed Italian denim company. They go to Paris Fashion Week. They're going to loads of parties. But Julia's saying like they couldn't keep their eyes off each other. But then suddenly he starts acting weird. He says he doesn't like her friends traveling in the same car as them.
I'm sorry. Suddenly he starts acting weird. What the fuck has the previous month been, Julia? That's been from the very start. There's nothing new here.
So she has a huge big row with them. There's this big after party. They row constantly. Then they go back to New York and Julia is told by Kanye's assistant that he's taking a month-long phone break.
Okay.
So they'd be going out a week and a half of the stage. A month-long phone break. Then it's her birthday. She's throwing a big party. He refuses to join her. So she has to head to his hotel on the other side of New York. When she gets there, she's to change into outfits pre-approved by him. He arrives and his annoying friend is with him.
This friend. I hate this friend.
The friend is back. They've brought 5 Birkin bags with him as presents for Julia and her friends. But Julia's heart sinks because in her gut, she kind of knows this is a goodbye present. This isn't a birthday present.
But it's a hell of a fucking goodbye present, babe. Yeah, you could buy a flat with that.
Yeah.
Literally, you could buy a house.
So they go to the party and he makes her and her friends recreate the moment of being given the present several times for his camera crew.
Imagine being her friend, Michelle. Just like imagine being her friend, being like, I'm getting the free Birkin.
So by the time her cake arrives, he's outside talking to his friends. He's not there. Then the annoying friend goes up to her and tells her that Kanye wants to go to another party, so she has to go.
Oh, it's her birthday.
So she has to leave her own birthday party go to a club with Kanye. They sit in the car on the way to that other party in silence.
Of course.
And then when he gets to the club, he ignores her.
Of course he does. And you know, it was shit music and shit people. She just sat there bored all night long with her Birkin.
Awful. Bored with a Birkin.
Bored with a Birkin. We've all been there, haven't we? Who amongst us?
So the next day she texts him saying she's not having fun in the relationship anymore.
Was she ever? What was name one positive part of his whole story so far?
Ugh.
He texts back, if you loved me, you would support me.
First of all, I thought you were on a phone break, so that didn't last long. All right, Selena Gomez. Secondly, that's not supportive. Jesus.
It's crazy.
He's the worst. Weaponizing therapy speak already as well.
And especially
they should support me.
Like they've only been going, like literally. They have not yet seen a full lunar cycle together.
I know.
If you loved me. And then
support what? What does he mean?
I know. Going to a party. Like, what do you want from us? What is it that you could possibly want?
he's not in his right mind. He wasn't in his right mind at the time.
So no. She texts him back, who's going to support me though? So then he rings her up and says that his ex-wife has told him that Julia is a drug addict.
I hate that. I hate that. Don't do that, Kimberly.
Well, we don't even know if Kimberly actually did that, although I can see her doing it. But you don't know if that's him being an asshole or Kim being an asshole.
Yeah,
Both of them being assholes. I don't know.
I can see Kim being like, I don't want the kids around her.
I can see that as well.
You know, because she, to be fair, is a drug addict.
And she seems quite chaotic. But she was a mother herself. So, but whatever. I can see, Kim, that's not Kim. Kim's like, I don't give a fuck who's a mother. They're my kids.
Yeah.
I don't want my kids around some random girl you've barely known for a week, much less with a drug addict. So,
yeah, that's
whatever,
true.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I think Julia was very upset. Part of the reason is she's never hid, you know, her struggles with addiction. Mm. So for him to suddenly be like, oh, hang on a sec.
She found it very This is less about Kim saying that, more about him suddenly that's a problem to him now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Julia's really upset. She hangs up. She texts her publicist. The relationship is done. The next people she texts is her friends to let them know, oh, me and Kanye have broken up. And one of them texts her back saying, yeah, I know. Kanye wants me to dress his new girlfriend.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. What do you do in that situation? Oh my God. The money though. The stock. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Kanye. What a dick. What an absolute asshole.
And, okay. Yeah. And then she gets a random text from Kanye a few weeks later when he suddenly realizes, guess what she never did? She's never signed an NDA. He says,
nice work.
I can't be friends with you if you don't sign. She replies, I'll live.
Yes, Julia. And just like that, an entire generation of women and gays fell in love.
Yes, incredible. So important.
Michelle, at the end of this sorry tale, we've got some work to do. I mean, Kanye, he was so like creative. He seemed really inspired by her. She was this cool New York kid. Why couldn't they make it work?
Because he's a narcissist.
Yeah.
And she's a queen.
That word is thrown around a lot, but I think in this case it's very accurate.
It feels real. Yeah, it feels genuine and real to call him that. Maybe there's a different diagnosis, but there is something going on for him.
Also, we have to acknowledge, I don't want to forgive this man for a lot of things, but I don't think he was in a position to be starting a relationship with anyone.
No.
He was so not over his ex in the slightest. I don't think he is still over Kim now.
Yeah, I think
much
he
less
just
I don't think he's ever
that...
dealt with his mom's death properly. There's so much going on with this guy. I just don't think this is someone that... He's just a walking red flag. So I just I hate to put all the blame on him, but I'm going to put all the blame on him, whether it's his fault or not. He's
me too.
He's the reason why this didn't work.
People are always doing their best with what they have and what's happened to them, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, he is, you know, he's awful for reasons, but he is awful.
But he wasn't doing his best. He wasn't doing the work, as they say. He was doing nothing to make himself a better person.
It's a shame.
But, despite all that, I also praise him. Because without this relationship, I fear that she would have remained an indie actress and an it girl in New York. And she wouldn't be the international star that
we have
now.
We might not have the book, and the book is so important.
Exactly. Without him, she wouldn't have been where she is now. So we have to give him props for that.
So
he's like an absent father who gave you good eyes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to always thank him.
That is true.
Well, sadly, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. But, you know, in every split, there is a winner and there's a loser. There's a thriver and there's a survivor. So in the great split between Kanye West and Julia Fox, Michelle, who thrived and who simply survived? Who won the breakup?
She clearly won the breakup.
It's
so
not a good
clear. Yeah. Yeah. It's disrespectful to even ask.
And can we discuss, Michelle, as well, that I think, am I right in saying that perhaps one of the reasons you would find what's happened to her since thriving is her transformation from someone that straight men find hot, like Kanye, to someone who's kind of anti-men in terms of nothing she does is to find to be attractive to men. She's not just for gays and girls, and
she's,
that's it.
She's an icon for,
she's bleaching her eyebrows, for the girls, her makeup is ridiculous, her clothes are nothing sexy about her anymore. I still find her hot. She's obviously hot, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that, she finds a girlfriend. That's my hope. Because she talks about sort of, I mean, she's so romantic about her female friendships. And I think there's some stuff going on. I'm like, could she just be with a woman just for us?
Yeah.
Definitely. She never speaks about any of her male love affairs with any affection whatsoever. There's a sort of functionality to them all. Whereas the women are these magical creatures in her life.
Like those are her soulmates. She's passionate. Her passion is towards her friendships.
And the many that give her power or take it away. But the women are who enrich her life, which is wonderful. Except there's that one guy in her book who she talks about, but he's gay and he's like another soulmate that she has.
Yeah.
But I also think back to these two as well. I think this was like the last straw in the, because this really was the nail in the coffin of Ye being considered as a normal celebrity / respectful artist anymore.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Pete and Kim was bad enough. We were already over it.
Yeah.
And then seeing this and then what's happened to him since, he's just gone to that level of celebrity where it's just kind of this, he's kind of a, for lack of a better word, kind of a freak show scenario. It's giving me similar vibes to Michael Jackson towards the end, or you know what I mean? It's just kind of this weird celebrity that we all check in and go, oh, he's doing this. Now he's getting a blowjob on a boat. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, you know what I mean? It's just kind of, and I think she was this was the last gasp at us finding it kind of fun. And now it's all a bit like, ooh.
Yeah.
So he really did not just not thrive. This really was the end of it for him. I can't see a mainstream comeback in his future.
It really was like a very dark version of A Star Is Born.
And bear in mind, we're saying dark. In Star Is Born, he would die. This is when he lives, but this is somehow darker. I mean, it's actually worse.
Yeah, it is. I feel like he could come back if he like did a lot of work and then publicly spoke about like men's mental health and like, you know, the things that you go through and being a black man in the industry. And like, I think there's a way that he comes out of this, but he has to do so much work and his therapist has to do a lot of work.
I agree with you. I think there is a way. I think underneath all that is a very, very, very smart person. But I just think it's so clouded by the narcissism, by what he's been through, by all. I just don't think that will ever happen. I don't see it ever happening.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think he's just, he's off the ranch. He's off the reservation.
Too far gone.
And she is a queen of all of our worlds. She's amazing. She will never go away. What's in her future? I don't know, but ugh.
Speaking of queens,
I actually think you could have an answer for this one, actually, because there is another queen who is the patron saint of this podcast, Michelle. We ask all of our guests to help us because we believe that although she's had several men in her life, several people in her life, we don't feel like she's ever been with someone who is truly worthy of her. So can you, Michelle, put your thinking cap on and think of someone that could be with and love the one, the only Cher?
Okay, I'm going to say Julia Fox.
It has to be Julia Fox.
I just think it makes sense. They would love each other. They would get so much from each other and they would support each other. I think it's perfect.
And they both have great voices to mimic, so it'd be really fun for impressionists to do this.
Yes, listen, I'm an actor, I'm a sketch comedian. It would be for me a gift.
It would just be. Stop saying it like that. It's uncut gems, Julia. Come on, it would just be great.
Oh God. Well, listen. Oh, who thought we would end this a podcast about this couple on such an upbeat note?
Exactly. Thank you so much, Michelle. That was epic. I could talk about her for hours, actually, to be honest. Where can our listeners find more of you, though, and see more of you?
You can find me on like Instagram at Michelle Brazier and all of the social media platforms. I'm doing a tour of the UK and Ireland and also doing a show in New York and a show in LA. So you can get tickets to all of those in the link in my bio. I also wrote a book. So there's a lot going on.
What's the name of your show?
The show I'm doing in the UK and Ireland is called Reform, and it's like a return. I did Edinburgh Fringe and sold it out.
Oh, amazing.
Ever heard of it? And
so then Michelle Brazier, look up Michelle Brazier at Reform.
Yes. And then the US show is called Average Bear.
That's the new show. That's the one I've seen more on your Instagram and everything, Average Bear. Good.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the book?
The book. It's called My Brother's Ashes Are in a Sandwich Bag. And it's about like losing my brother and my dad to cancer and finding out that I might not have as much time as the Average Bear, which is what Average Bear is about. But it's about like just like loving everything as if you were Julia Fox, really.
Oh.
It's like it's about female friendship and enjoying the time that you have. And it's also about grief, but it's funny.
Fun.
Michelle, I heard you mention New York in there, and I'm just thinking, when you're in New York, maybe you should be asking someone for Julia Fox's number.
I am gonna. I'm gonna find that girl.
I mean, hunt down, just if you see a pair of thigh-high boots and a denim belt as a skirt, you've spotted her. She's there.
Squeaking. You'll hear the squeaking of the leather. That's plastic rustling in the background. Julia's in. She's in. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much,
Michelle.
Thank
you for having me. It's very kind.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening. Until the next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye. The way they were.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.